Well, imagine that you're sitting in a room with a couple of dozen grown men, professional athletes, professional football players. You're sitting in the locker room of Lambeau Stadium, home of the Green Bay Packers, years ago, when the legendary coach Vince Lombardi walks into the room. And he's going to say something that's going to be life-changing, that's going to help you as a football player. And Vince Lombardi walks into a room. He lifts up a football over his head and he says, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Now, these are professional football players. These are MVPs. These are pro ballers. These are guys that have been playing football since they were knee-high to a grasshopper. They know what a football is. But apparently they haven't been playing with it too well. And what Vince Lombardi was saying to those men that day, and what I believe that the Lord wants to say to us today, is that if we're going to be successful in life, if we're going to be victorious, then we've got to learn how to stay with the basics. You got to just kind of get back. Don't get too far from the foundation. You got to build on that foundational principle, whether it's this is a football or the title of my message today, ladies and gentlemen, this is a Bible. I know you're a little insulted. You know what a Bible is. Those were pro bowlers who knew what a football was, but they needed to relearn it. They needed to rediscover it. They needed to figure out how to operate with it better than what they were. They needed to learn how to use it better than they had been using it. And many of you know what a Bible is, but do we really know our Bible? Do we really know what's inside the pages of this book that is literally life transformative? Do we know what this book contains, the truths that are in it that can make the difference literally in life or in death? Do we know the Word of God? Are we living by the Word of God? I shared with you last week about the importance this year of positioning ourselves to receive what God has for us, to receive the miracle, to receive the blessings. Today, I really want to talk to you about positioning ourselves in the Word of God. Getting into this book on a regular, consistent basis and allowing God to truly speak to us that we're in a place where God can pour into our lives what we need. This is a Bible. It really is our guidebook, our owner's manual, our reference guide. It's a light into our path. It's a lamp into our feet. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. It is the truth that we need to know. And it's amazing how many people think they know what a Bible is. They think they know what's in the Bible. Have you ever had people come into you and say things like, "Well, you know, the Bible says," and then they say something that you're like, I don't think that's in the Bible. It might sound religious. It might sound spiritual even. But you're like, I've read the book. It's not in there. And yet people believe it. It's amazing some of the things that people think are in the Bible that really aren't in the Bible. Things like, cleanliness is next to godliness. Hey, nice saying, I believe it. Personal hygiene, if you don't understand that, we can have a lesson about that. That's good truth, but it's not in the Bible. Or how about God helps those who help themselves? You know, the Bible says God helps those. No, the Bible does not say that. Sorry, nice pep talk, but it's not in the Word. And see, we're in this place where if we don't know what's in the Word, we'll make it up. A lot of people are making it up. And there's a level of biblical illiteracy that exists today because people don't really know what's in the book. Because for a lot of people, Do not raise your hand if this is describing you. But for a lot of people, what you know in the book is what the preacher puts up in his sermon, that five or six verses that he puts up on the screen every week. And that's about all of the word you get into all week long. That's kind of like, you know, having a pack of crackers one day a week and calling it, you know, a healthy diet. When we don't know what's in the book, we make it up. And when we don't know what's in the book, people can easily deceive us. Tell us things. Lead us astray. I was talking to a friend of mine. I won't go into the details, but he was sharing with me some stuff this week that I'm like, I can't even believe this guy believes this. Things like, you know, that everybody's already saved. They just don't know it yet. And that you know, hell, you know, that there's got to be a way to get out of hell after you get into hell. Surely that's not an eternal place. He just didn't want to believe that. And then he really surprised, because I've heard that kind of stuff. Then he surprised me. This is a new one that I hadn't heard. And that is that we can actually go back and forth to heaven and talk to Jesus in heaven while we're still here on earth. And I was like, have you done that? He said, no, I'm still practicing. I'm like, let me know when you get that one down. And then we take and we try to piece things together out of the Bible to try to fit stuff together to make it make sense for us. You know, like I've discovered this truth, it's my truth, and I found it in the Word of God. But really, it's you found pieces of it, and you try to put it together kind of like, I don't know, we got some quilters in the room that like to quilt, and you take a patch of this and a piece of that, and you stitch it all together, and you make something really beautiful out of it, except for the Bible's not a quilt, folks. We're not just piecing together bits and pieces of the scripture to satisfy us, to say what we wanted, to say. I remember hearing the story, you may have heard me say this before, the guy that was, he was trying to figure out what God's will for his life was. And so he did that thing that a lot of us have done in our past. You know, the old, what does it say? And so he did that. He opened the Bible, and sure enough, there was a scripture that from Matthew chapter 27, verse 5, that says, and Judas went out and hanged himself. Hey, it's in the Bible. But I don't think it was God's will for this guy at that moment. He's like, oh, that can't be it. Let's make it 2 out of 3, God. Let's try again, you know? He does it again, another place in the Bible. He opens it up. It's now, he's in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 37, and it says, go and do thou likewise. See, go and do thou likewise. It's in the Bible, but it's not after Judas went out and hanged himself, go and do thou likewise. It's after Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, and he says, go and do thou likewise. See, we need to know what the Word says. We need to get the Word of God in our heart, because that is the way that we're going to please the Lord. It's the way that we're going to grow in our discipleship. It's the way that we're going to be able to tell our friends and our family the right way to live. And it's the way that we're not going to get deceived, because I'm telling you, we're living in a day where there's a lot of deception going on. The Bible told us about it. It said that there's coming a day where you're going to hear, you know, people saying things that you know, just to satisfy the itching of our ears. But we need to know, what does the Word of God say? Paul, writing to his young disciple Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Study the Word of God. Study it so you can show yourself approved unto God. You know that, like a stamp of approval? I want God's stamp of approval. I want him to say approved. I like the way you're doing that. That's right. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Taking it and dissecting it and looking at it and understanding and applying it accurately. Not just saying what I want it to say. To 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Somebody say inspiration. The word inspiration literally means God breathed. All scripture, this book, all of it, is God breathed. Some people want to try to tell you, well, it's just, you know, a bunch of man-made ideas. No. God says, this is God-breathed. This is inspired directly from the Holy Spirit. Scribes, men wrote it down, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We need that. The psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He goes on and he says, your word I have hidden in my heart so that I don't sin against you. If we're going to live a life that's pleasing to God, if we're going to be people of the word, if we're going to sin not, then we need to hide God's word in our heart. If we're going to walk in the right path, then we need this book to illuminate that path, to show us the right way to go. If we're going to study to show ourselves approved unto God, then we're going to have to study this word and rightly divide it. Because here's what happens. When you get to know the word, you get to know the word. See, because the word, according to Scripture, is this book. It's the word of God. But the word also refers to Jesus himself. John says about him, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and all things were made by him. And goes on and says in verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When you get to know the word, you get to know the word. And we want to know the word. We want to know Jesus because he's the one who transforms our life. He's the only one who can. And I love that verse that I quoted in John 1:14, where it says that he was full of grace and truth. See, there are a lot of people that want to take this book and they want to talk about either grace or truth. But Jesus was full of grace and truth. Some people want to take and the truth of the word and beat you over the head with the truth of the word. You get yourself right. And then some people want to go, well, it's just all grace. You just do the best you can and it'll all work out. Well, that ain't true, folks. I'm sorry. If doing the best you can and it'll all work out works, Jesus wouldn't have had to go to the cross and die for your sins. But Jesus was full of grace and truth. He applied the truth, but he did it with grace. Oh, may we be like Jesus, that we know the word of God. We know the truth of the word of God. We're not going to compromise on the word of God, but we know how to apply it with grace into people's lives so that it can be life transformative and not defeating. Folks, this is a Bible. This is the word of God. You need to position yourself this year in this book and let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you out of the pages of this book. We need to do it on a regular basis, like daily. The psalmist says in Psalm 1, talking about the blessed man, how many of you want to be blessed of the Lord? Yeah. He said, the blessed man, he says, he's the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on his law day and night. That's how you become the blessed of the Lord. You're in this book. You're in this word. You're continually feeding on it. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, we find a similar encouragement to the young man Joshua's taking Moses' place. And he's told, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. We need to hide the word in our heart that we might not sin against God. We need to meditate on it day and night so that we obey everything that's written in it. And he says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. How many of you like to prosper and succeed in all you do? The answers are right here. The answers are right here in this book. Read it, study it, meditate on it continually, day and night, and you'll prosper in all you do. This is your owner's manual. This is your directions. This is how you put your life together. The instructions that you need to live, prosper, to do well, to please God. How many of you at Christmas got something that had the words, some assembly required? I did. 3 days later, there's still a part that's not in the right place. I was following the instructions manual. It just wasn't very clear. Some of us are like, oh, instructions? Who needs the instructions? I know how to make this happen. Oh, wonder what these three parts are for. You don't want to do that with your life. You want to read the instruction manual. You want to put your life together right according to God's plan for your life. I was having breakfast with a friend of mine earlier this week. He was telling me how that we're in the first week of January and how that he had started reading through the Bible, going through the Bible, and his plan was to read all the way through the Bible this year. And he said, you know, I'm really grateful that I had a pastor, it was several years ago, that he had a pastor who challenged the congregation to read through the Bible in a year that year. He said, I'm so glad that I never had anybody challenge me to do that, and it really was life-changing for me. And more pastors ought to do that. And I'm sitting there going, more pastors, I wonder who he's talking to. Me and him and the bacon and eggs is all that's here, you know? And I'm like, you know, yeah, yeah. How many of you have ever done that, read through the Bible in a year? Raise your hand. Lots of you, lots of you. I don't know, maybe close to half. Some of you that done it the first time, you went on to do it again and again and again. And nobody who's ever done it ever said, well, that was a waste of time. Oh, I wish I'd have watched more TV and read my Bible just a little bit less. A little more time on Facebook would have been more profitable for me. No, nobody would ever say that because this book, when you get to know this book, you get to know the Jesus inside this book, the Jesus that changed our lives, the Jesus that died on a cross for us, the Jesus who says that we are now the righteousness of Christ, the Jesus that says that he lives in us. We get to know this Jesus, experience the joy and the victory that he wants to lead us into, but you're not going to know him if you don't know his book. And so I just want to challenge every one of you this year. This is a challenge. Read through your Bible. I know that you're maybe 6 or 7 days late. It's okay. You can catch up. I believe in you. Maybe some of you think, well, Pastor, you know, I don't know that I got time to do that. That's a pretty big book, the Bible. Read all the way through it in a year. I don't know if I've got the time to do something like that. I mean, I just really don't have a lot of time. You know, I've got other things in my life that is really, really important that I need to spend some time on. How many of you got one of these? Oh, this is a time machine. It steals time if you're not careful with it. Hey, did you know? I mean, it's a good tool. It can be used for good. It really can be. I'm going to tell you a way that it can be used. But talking about time, I got an iPhone. Some of you are, you know, you're Android guys. You know, it's okay. It's okay. But if you got an iPhone and you go to your settings and then you look at screen time, did you know that this little gadget will tell you how much time it's stolen from you in the last day, in the last week, what your average screen time has been? Some of you are looking it up right now like, I'm scared to see. I'm not going to show you mine. It's embarrassing. But you know what? This little tool can help you spend time with God. Thanks to the internet and things like YouVersion, you can find the Bible on your phone. See, this is not just my phone. It's about 10 or 12 Bibles that I got in my hand right now. And some of you are saying, okay, all right, fine, you got me, Pastor. I really ought to have enough time to spend time in the Word, okay, except for the fact that I'm just not a good reader. I don't understand it. The Bible's so hard. Hey, you know those 10 or 12 Bibles? There's some of them that stay true to the original intent of the Old Testament manuscripts, but they're written in a language, in a way that it's easier to understand today. And I encourage you, for devotional time, use those kind of tools. And some of you are saying, yeah, but you know, reading comprehension, I mean, that just wasn't for me. I hated reading. I'm not good at reading. I can't even read Winnie the Pooh. I mean, 5 minutes in and I'm already confused about which one's the bear. So there are other tools. We're literally, and here's something that I'm doing. Guys, put that up on the screen for me, if you will. It's through YouVersion, and it's the Bible Project, and the Bible gets, you can actually have the Bible read to you every day. And you're like, I can't pronounce the big words. These guys, they're smart. They can pronounce the big words. And so you can listen to it and go, okay, that helps me. But then I found out that with this Bible Project, I'm not a spokesman. I do not get paid for this, okay? I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to equip you. That's my job as your pastor, is not to live life for you, but to equip you to do the work of ministry, okay? So I'm trying to put some tools in your hands that's really practical, that can really help you to determine that this year I'm going to position myself in the Word of God like I never have before. And I started doing this one this year, and this was back on day 4. And I was on track. Very good, Pastor Tommy. Yay! That's only day 4, right? But it's also got a video that goes with it. And if you're more like visual than you are auditory, and you're like, if I could see it, it might help me. And it's got this little, it's kind of cartoonish, but it kind of helps you to every day to see how what you're going to read fits into the big picture of the Bible, because we're not just talking about reading it for the sake of saying, hey, check the box off, I read it. We're talking about wanting you to understand it, let it really get into your spirit. So guys, it's about 40 seconds long. Show that little video, and it just gives you kind of an idea of what's there.
The first book in the Bible is a book you've probably heard of. It's called Genesis.
Genesis comes from a Hebrew word. It's pronounced reshit, and it just means beginning.
Now, there's a lot of stories from the book of Genesis, and it's easy just to pull out a specific story and try to tell you what it might mean. But we think the best way to understand this book is to look at the book as a whole and show you how the whole thing is designed.
The book is designed to fall into two main parts. You have chapters 1 through 11, which is telling the story of God and the whole world. And then you have the second part, which is about God and Abraham's family, as chapters 12 through 50. And how the two of those parts relate, that's where you find the message of the book.
So you get a little piece like that. It just kind of helps you to start to understand just a little bit better what the Bible's all about. I really do. I want to challenge us as a church, as a body, this year, that we're positioning ourselves for God to speak to us. We're positioning ourselves for God to work in our lives. And part of that, there's more than just reading the Bible. We're going to move our way through some other things. But I want to challenge you that you make it a determination, a commitment. I'm going to do it. I'm going to download that little app on my phone. I'm going to read it, or I'm going to find whatever tool that you can use that works best for you. And I'm going to set aside that 15 or 20 minutes every day just to read the Word of God and let God's Word speak to me. While we're while I'm showing you videos. I'm going to show you one more little video clip, and then I'm wrapping this up. Because I've discovered another tool that I think will help us to kind of identify with the Jesus of the Bible. And I'm going to admit right up front that I'm kind of a latecomer to this, okay? Some of you are already ahead of me, and you already knew about this and believed in it before I did. But my wife and I, about a month ago, we discovered The Chosen. Apparently, I am late to some of you. Yeah. And I've been hearing Harley Weidman talk about The Chosen for, you know, since it first came out, I guess. And can I just be honest? Can I be a little transparent as your pastor? It's kind of like, all right, another Bible video thing. You know, I'm not sure I'm really going to get it. I'm not sure if it's going to be biblically accurate. Fine, you watch it. I'm not really sure that I'm into that. And then I watched it. And I'm into that. And I binged watched it all the way to, I am current on it, okay? Now, listen, The Chosen is not a substitute for you reading your Bible. I'm not saying that. But it is another tool instead of some of the other junk that you could be watching at night that I like the Jesus in this thing. I mean, he's believable. He's real. He laughs with kids and he jokes with the disciples and he gets stern when he has to, but he's full of grace and truth, and I like it. And I love the character development and how the writers put it all together. And all of a sudden, you can go, yeah, I can see how it could have gone that way. Now, some of it is really direct right out of the Word of God. And some of it's, there's, you know, some license taken to, you know, fill in the blanks. But I just want to encourage, in fact, I really think that along with our Spirit Life Institute, which I really want to push Spirit Life Institute, really want to encourage, we were talking about it earlier, but really getting into Spirit Life Institute, getting into the Word of God, becoming a disciple of Jesus. I'm learning in Spirit Life Institute. I'm your pastor. I'm still learning. Y'all. I'm your pastor. I don't know it all yet. Yay for a pastor who believes that, who knows that. Yeah. I'm still learning stuff, and I remember, you know, going through the Spirit Life Institute first semester, and I'm just like, whoa, there's some stuff in here that I'm getting that I've never really got before, and this is good, and I just think that it would be good for you, and I think you might like watching. In fact, let's just tease them a little bit with about 2 minutes worth of The Chosen.
What things can happen?
Miracles.
I can never forget what I saw.
I'm so sorry, I don't actually know your name.
I'm Jesus.
Are you dangerous?
Maybe to some.
I saw him. It was incredible.
I need to know if we have a problem.
The man claimed to be God.
False prophecy.
Again, I ask you, is there a problem? The so-called miracle worker?
Jesus of Nazareth.
Apparently something good can come from Nazareth.
Throw me like a stone in the water. Watch the mud rise up.
If we are going to have a question and answer session every time we do something you're not used to, it's going to be a very annoying time together for all of us.
There are righteous men on the lookout for you, and they are weighing every word you say.
Trouble. That's not for you.
Trouble. This is different.
Get used to different.
We didn't choose him.
He chose us.
I see you.
Trouble. Oh, I really don't like that man.
Follow me, and you'll see more.
I was one way, and now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him.
And so it's time.
Let's go.
Really, I would love to see a couple of small groups in our Spirit Life Institute starting in just a couple of weeks where somebody say, I will plug and play this, and then we can talk about it afterwards. I would love to see that happen. I'm just throwing that out there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Bible. You need to know it. You need to read it. You need to study it. You need to hide it in your heart so you don't sin against God. You need it so it'll be a lamp into your feet and a light into your path. You need it because you're in spiritual warfare, and this is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You need it because this is the Word of God that will introduce you to the Word of God. And by reading this book, you'll know Jesus like you never knew him before. And my challenge is, let's be men and women of the book. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you would help us to do that. Lord, that we'll make a determination this year that we're going to be men and women of the book like we never have before, that we're going to read it, we're going to study it, we're going to hide it in our heart, we're going to consume it, Lord. Lord, there'll be times when as we're consuming it, it'll be bitter. And then times as we consume it, it'll be like honey. But Lord, it'll always be your word. And it'll speak to us, and it'll meet us at that place that you want to touch us, or you want to transform us, or you want to change us, where you want to challenge us, where you want to make us more like you. Help us, Lord, to position ourselves in this book so that we can hear from you. As every head is bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask this morning, maybe there's some folks in this room today that you've never become a person of the book. You've never become a follower of Jesus. You've never surrendered your heart and life to him and made him your personal Lord and Savior. And today, in this beginning of a new year, you're ready to surrender your life totally and completely to him and let him be your Savior. If you're here today and you know, and let me just enlarge that just a little bit. Maybe there was a time in your life where you knew you were walking with Jesus, but you've let things happen. You've gotten cold in that relationship. It's distant to the point that you're not even certain today that you're still a Christian. You don't really have that level of certainty. But you'd like to recommit your life this morning to that place where you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, I'm a child of God and heaven's my future. And if you're here today and you want it for the very first time or as an act of recommitment to Jesus, surrender your life to the Lord, I'd love to pray with you. Would you raise your hand so that I know you're here? Thank you. I see those hands. Are there some others this morning? You know you need to do this. This is the next step you need to take to position yourself to receive the blessings of the Lord. I see the other hand. Thank you. Thank you. Is there somebody else this morning? The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. He's drawing you. Yes, I see you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. I see another hand. Is there anyone else while the Lord is moving today? You know this is what you need to do. This is a decision that you need to make. It's about 4 or 5. I see another hand. Yes, thank you for being honest. Another hand right here. About a half a dozen who raised their hands this morning saying, I know that I need to, either for the very first time or as an act of rededication, I need to recommit my life to Jesus. Here's what I want you to do. This is a personal thing. This is between you and God. But I just want to step alongside and help you in this prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to ask everyone in the room to pray this prayer out loud. And if you raise your hand and you're sincere, if you'll pray this, I know that God will hear you and he'll answer your prayer. He'll wash you. He'll forgive you. You just need to just turn and follow Jesus. So let's pray this prayer right now. Dear Jesus, I come to you in humbleness, and I confess that I am a sinner. I'm lost and on a road to hell without you. But I believe that you died on a cross and you paid the penalty for my sin, and you rose from the dead to give me the gift of everlasting life. I receive your gift today. Come into my life. I repent of my sin. I turn away from my past ways. And I determine to follow you from this day forward. Help me, Jesus, to live for you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for saving me today. And I declare by faith that I am born again. I am a child of God, and heaven is my home. Amen? Come on, church, let's celebrate those who prayed that prayer today. Our prayer team is wanting to minister to those of you who prayed that prayer. And they're going to try to reach out to you. They were looking for your raised hands. And if they found you, they're going to reach out to you and just kind of share some information to help you get started. And part of getting started is getting in this book. They're going to help you get started right in Jesus, okay? And if they don't find you, come on down to the altar, and we'll find you right here, okay? I want you to stand with me all over this room. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come join me at the front. We're closing this service. We believe in the power of prayer. We know that some of you came today burdened. You came today with needs in your life. You came today overwhelmed with circumstances. You came today saying, I need some answers, God, and we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. So you don't have to leave the way you came. I'm gonna pray a simple closing prayer, and after I pray that prayer, if you need prayer, come and join us. We're here ready to, we'll take all afternoon if that's what it takes to pray with you because we care about you. And everybody else, I want to challenge you that this is the year you're gonna read through the Bible all the way. You're gonna be men and women of the book. So Lord, thank you for the challenge. And thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit who will lead us into all truth. God, who will open up the pages of the Word to us and make things that once were confusing become clear and understandable so that we can really grow and become the disciples that you've called us to be. Lord, I ask that you minister to the needs of everyone in this place. And as we leave, let us go out truly being your disciples. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, Spirit Life. We'll see you next week.